Yeah. So today is March 22nd, Sunday morning. We have finished the 10th chapter of Masechet Pesachim, so we're now going to the beginning of the chapter, the first perek, and we'll learn some of the Mishnayot in the first perek. The subject here, as you already saw, Mr. Galler, is the Bidikat Chametz, the checking for Chametz. In order to study Bidikat Chametz, we have to go back to the Chumash and look at some of the sources associated with Bidikat Chametz. And on the sheet, you can see I divide into three subjects. The prohibitions associated with Chametz, which we'll look at right now.
Yeah.
And then the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach is important because the time of the Korban Pesach is a factor in figuring out the time of the prohibition of Chametz, as we'll see. And the third matter is the positive command associated with Chametz, which is Tashbitu, to destroy the Chametz. So let's go. So the first source is Shmot 12:15 in the Chumash. That's Perek Yudbet, Pasuk Tetvav.
What is this?
Yudbet in Sefer Shmot.
Page 352.
352. Chapter 12, verse 15. Yud Bet Tetvav at the very, very bottom. We can read the previous verse just for background. The previous verse is Yud Aled on page 352 at the very bottom.
Yeah, it says
in verse Yud Aled says, "Vaya yom leze." V'haya hayom haze lechem lezikaron v'chagotem oto chag l'adonai l'dor techem chukat olam techaguhu. Now, however, shivat yamim matzot tochelu ach b'yom ha'rishon tashbitu sumi batechem ki chol ochel chametz v'nifrata nefesh ahi mi'yisrael miyom ha'rishon ad yom ha'shvi'i. So this is the matter of Isur Chametz. And what it seems to say is, we won't deal now with the matter of Tashbitu, we'll get to that later. It says we're forbidden to eat Chametz, Meyom HaRishon Ad Yom HaShvi'i. So now, we're going to see another verse, which is the next three pages, approximately, or four pages.
So from that pasuk, we don't have any indication that there's anything before Yom Rishon that would be prohibited.
That's certainly true. Okay. It seems to say, just Mi Yom HaRishon Ad Yom HaShvi'i.
Right.
And we would assume, all things being equal, that Yom Rishon is the Yom HaRishon, which is Tetvav. But then we have this pasuk in chapter Yud Gimel at the very beginning. It's pasuk Gimel.
Gimel.
And we can read pasuk Gimel.
Page
360.
Gimel.
Page
360.
Mm-hmm.
I got it.
Pasuk Gimel. Yomei Moshe El Ha'am.
Gimel.
Zochor et ha'yom hazeh asher yitzatem min Mitzrayim mibeit avedim ki bechuzik yad hosi Adonai etchem mizeh velo ye'ahel chametz. So the first pasuk that we read talked about not eating chametz in the active. This is the passive. Lo ye'ahel will not be eaten. So let's see what the Gemara does with that. So this is the Gemara in Tractate Pesachim, page 21b, like I have it on the sheet, and it's on the second stapled sheet. And what it says at the very top of the page, it's on that one.
Yeah.
Right. This one's the gal of the next page.
The next page.
This is Masechet Pesachim, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Bet. It says Amar Cheskia, Minayin lechametz she'asur b'chana'a she'ne'mar, and the verse is Shmot Yud Gimel, lo ye'ahel chametz lo yehevo heter achila.
Right.
So it's not that you're forbidden from eating it.
Right.
Now we learn from the previous verse you can't eat it. This additional verse that after we learn you can't eat chametz says chametz won't be eaten, means you can't do anything that will cause chametz to be eaten.
Right.
Lo yehevo heter achila. Tama dichtav rachmana lo yeachel chametz. The reason to understand from here that it's isur hana'a is because it says lo yeachel chametz. Ha alo katav lo yeachel. Had it not written lo yeachel, had it written something else like lo yochal chametz, then it would have been simply isur achila.
Right.
Hava amina isur achila. I would have thought it's just a isur achila mashma. Isur hana lo mashma. But since it says lo ye achel will not be eaten, it comes to add isur hana. Now let's see what Rashi says about that. So the Rashi says lo ye achel mida karina. It's right there underneath it. Right underneath it. Rashi says lo ye achel mida karina lo ye achel. Mide, right, from that I read, Karina's I read, from that I read, lo ye'ahel, mashma lo yehevo heter, hamivi yedei shumachila.
That's pretty much what the Gemara said, right?
Yeah. V'stam hana'ot yedei achila himbo.
And eat kosher later.
So it says, v'stam hana'ot yedei achila himbo'ot, shulokeach bedamim devar ma'achal.
Yeah.
Most hanaot would come to achila. You could buy with the money, right? So the thing is, you can't get any money from your chametz.
The chametz cannot be sold.
Chametz cannot be sold. When it's forbidden on the 7 days, you can't sell chametz. What else couldn't you do with chametz?
You couldn't cause it to be eaten. How would you cause it to be eaten?
Well, you can't get any monetary benefit from it, because with that money, eventually you could come to achila. You could use the money to buy something to eat.
Right.
But we do give it. We do write.
I would probably use the money to buy something for Pesach.
That's before. We're talking about the Shivat Yamim, right? On these 7 days, lo ye achel chametz. Nothing should be done with your chametz.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nothing should be done with your chametz on these 7 days.
If I have a pizza store that's on the other side of the country and I have no connection to it, I can't make money from that.
You can't make money from that pizza store. Another famous example is, right, you couldn't feed your animals chametz.
Right.
You get a benefit.
Yeah.
If you feed your animals
chametz. Although it's not monetary. That's not a monetary benefit.
But it could come to the monetary benefit, right? You feed your animals, so your animals grow up and you sell them to the market at some point, you get milk or fleece.
Okay. That's a good
one. Or in another sense, if you didn't feed them chametz, you'd have to feed them something else, which you'd have to pay for.
Right.
So that's another example of Hana'ah. We've gone to the beginning of the Masechet, since we finished the end of the Masechet.
Now, since you always like to talk about the Peshat and everything, could I ask you, could I put the question on the table, is this a Peshat reading?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
But you have to find some interpretation for it.
Chametz will not be eaten.
It makes it sound like... practically makes it sound like the same thing. You shouldn't eat, it shouldn't be.
Yeah, like for example, of the many verses that talk about doing melacha on Shabbat, some say, sheshet yamim, say doing melacha on the 6 days of the week. Some say, sheshet yamim ta'aseh melacha. Some say, sheshet yamim te'aseh melacha. In the Peshat, does it make a difference? Probably not. But this is not the Pshat. So we learn from one verse, Isur Achila.
Yeah.
A second verse, Isur Hana'a. Okay, so now let's go on.
We have this with Basar and Chalav also.
I just think the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Right. It's written three times.
Yeah.
So what is the third time? In Basar and Chalav, it's written, Lo tevashil gadi b'chalev imo. Don't cook a calf in its mother's milk. One teaches us Isur Achila, the other Asur Hana'a, and the third... the third is Asur Asiya. You can't do it.
Can't do it.
Can't do it, and if you did it, you can't eat it, and if you did it, you can't get benefit from it. And even if someone else did it, you can't eat it. You can't get benefit.
Right. You can't work at McDonald's.
From this side.
Right.
Did you read the first one last week? Was it in last week's Parsha?
It was. Yeah. Actually, and I wrote my article about that in the Texas Jewish Post about not boiling a calf in its
right.
mother's milk.
Oh, wow. I didn't even read the other things.
So, well, things get mixed up around here.
Well, and that's
last week they didn't put my article out. This week they put out next week's article.
Wow. And that's definitely not Shach where it's written three times.
Probably not.
Even less than this.
Okay, so now you can see that in A on our sheet there's one other source. Actually, I should say there's one other clause. So we're in clause 3. We're in clause 3. Shmot 12:19. So we open up again to Shmot.
Shmot 3.
12:19. Yud Bet Yud Tet.
Yeah, page 354.
Yud Bet Yud Tet.
354. Okay.
354, and it says, Shivat Yamim, so'o lo yimmatzei bevatechem, ki kol ochel machmetzet v'nichrata nefeshahi mi'adat Yisrael, v'ger uv'ezrach ba'aret. So the key is, very beginning, Shivat Yamim so'o lo yimmatzei bevatechem, so'o will not be found in your homes. Will not be found. Lo yimmatzei. And that has to be seen in light of another verse, Shmot 13:7, Yud Gimel Zion. So we hold this open here, and then we open up to a few pages later, not too many pages, 13:7. And in 13:7 on page 362, Yud Gimel Zion, it says, 362, right, Matzot Ye Achel et Shivat Hayamim, Below Yira'el lecha chametz, below Yira'el lecha se'or b'chol gvulecha. Will not be seen to you chametz, and will not be seen to you se'or in all your property, all your boundaries. How do they say it here? In all your borders. So we have one isur of lo yimatzei, and another of lo yira'el lecha. It's not just lo yira'el, it's lo yira'el lecha. Will not be seen to you, for you, among you, by you. And there are many, many complicated sugyot talking about the exact boundaries of these isurim of lo yimatzei, below yira'e. In halakha, we call it isur bal yira'e v'bal yimatzei. Bal means not seeing and not having found. So I just brought one of the gemarot here on our sheet to show the basic parameters of the way the gemara understands this. The truth is that the basic parameters are not complicated. The sugyot are very complicated, but in the end, the basic idea is pretty simple. So what the Gemara says is, Tana Rabbanan, it's the third source. Tana Rabbanan, Shivat Yamim So'o Lo Yimmatzei Bevatechem Ma Tamud Lomar. What does the verse come to teach? Ma Tamud Lomar means what does the verse come to teach? V'halo Kfar Ne'emar, behold, the verse already says, Lo yira'el lecha so'or b'chol gvulecha. So what is the meaning of A in light of B and B in light of A? One says lo yimatzei, the other says lo yira'e. What's the difference? Or what are we? How do we work out the connection between them? Says the Gemara, lefi she'ne'emar lo yira'el lecha so'or shelcha I atar ro'e. Translation, since it says lo yire lecha, it says lecha, shelcha I atarwe, you can't see yours, aval atarwe shel achirim, but you can see that of others, and of gavoa. Gavoa means belonging to Hekdesh, belonging to the Mikdash, which means you could have on your property, according to our understanding at this point, you can have on your property chametz that belongs to someone else, and you have no prohibition that you are transgressing. However, the Midrash goes on. Yechol yatmin v'kabel piktonot min anochri. You might think that you're allowed to be matmin, which means to bury it, because then you don't see it.
Somebody else.
Well, no, wait a second. To bury it. Bury your own, because I don't see it. Right? If it's buried under the ground or under the pile of dirty clothes, I don't see it. You might think that's okay.
If you don't look at it.
If you don't look at it. But wait a second, I want to emphasize that this havamina of the Gemara, which says, yechol yatmin v'kabel piktonot min anochri, Yeah. It's two very different havaminot in two different directions.
Right.
One is yechol yatmin. You might think that you could bury it, which means you might think it's just a matter of seeing.
Right.
And then when it says yikabel piktonot min anochri, to accept a deposit from a non-Jew, you might have thought it's just a matter of ownership.
Yeah.
And if you don't own it, therefore you can have it in your on your property,
right.
even though you see it. In other words, in one of these havaminot, work on the word yira'eh. The other, work on the word lecha.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because it says yira'eh, you might think that if you don't see it, it's okay. Because it says lecha, you might think that even if you see it, but if you don't own it, it's okay. Both of those are wrong. Talmud Lomar, lo yimatse. The verse says, lo yimatse.
It says lo yimatse.
It can't be found. So what does that mean? If it's hidden on your property,
if it's hidden, you cannot have it.
You can't have it. And even if you have a pikadon min anochri, you got a deposit from a non-Jew, you can't that because it says lecha. I'm saying because it says lo yimatse, won't be found. So that's what it says. So the conclusion seems to be that you can't own chametz even if you don't see it, and even if you don't own it, as long as it's found on your property, you can't, because it says lo yimatze.
Right. That's that.
That's what it seems to be saying. But think about it again. It can't be so simple. And there's actually a whole bunch of Gemara in here that I didn't bring because it's too complicated, but the Gemara is simple in its concept, which is that if the conclusion is that you can't have chametz at all, whether you own it or not, then it would have been enough to write the pasuk, lo yimatze. What does the pasuk write?
Lo yireh.
So if we think that it's just a matter of you can't have it hidden on your property, you can't have anything that belongs to a non-Jew on your property, you can't own it, that's too simple, because we just need then lo yimatze. Why does it say lo yireh?
Okay.
So we have to read this more carefully. When it says that you would have thought you can yikabel pikdonot min anochri, what is a pikadon? What is a deposit? A deposit is not that it just belongs to the nochri and he put it on your property. Rather, you accepted it from him. You have a certain legal obligation as a shomer, right?
Yeah.
So the Gemara says that if a non-Jew just put the chametz on your property and you said, okay, but I'm not watching it, you can keep it there, there's no prohibition. The prohibition is if you accepted the pikadon, you have a certain degree of legal responsibility for it.
Lo yimatzeh is not a problem if you don't accept the pikadon. Lo yimatzeh is not a problem because...
Right, so what we're doing is we're compromising between the two verses.
Yeah.
Lo yireh seems to indicate it's only prohibited if you own it. Lo yireh lecha.
Yeah.
Lo yimatzeh seems to indicate it's prohibited even if you don't own it. The compromise is, if you don't own it at all, there's no prohibition. But you don't have to completely own it. If you have partial ownership, then it's prohibited. What does partial ownership mean? To accept the pikadon as a shomer.
Yeah.
The language of the Gemara is mikabel alav achrayut. If you accepted responsibility for the pikadon, accepted responsibility to watch it, that's enough of ownership to fall under the rubric of the prohibition.
Because you're nogeva davar, whatever you're...
You have a certain legal connection to it. So that's why we need both verses, to compromise between lo yimatzeh, which might indicate you need no ownership, and lo yireh lecha, which indicates you need ownership. So the compromise between them is that you need partial ownership in order to be over, in order to transgress.
So we can understand from here why we would be allowed to sell the chametz and leave it hidden in our house. Because it's yimatzeh, but it's not yireh lecha.
Right, because if you have no ownership of it, none, if it's completely and absolutely sold.
The home, it's usually, yeah.
Yeah.
But
then
that's a late development, isn't it?
Right.
I understand.
But you're right, it's based on the idea that the prohibition is ownership. It's not just yimatzeh. It's not just being found in your house. It's being found in your house when there is a certain degree of legal ownership. Yeah. Okay. Let's go back. So now we finished A. And we saw in A that there are three prohibitions on Pesach. There are three prohibitions. One is achilat chametz.
Yeah.
The other is hana'ah of chametz. And the third is bal yireh v'bal yimatzeh. Three different prohibitions.
Yeah.
And now we go to the second matter, which is the Korban Pesach, which we said is important for our purposes, not for itself, but in order to know the times of the prohibitions on chametz. They are dependent to a certain degree on the times of the Korban Pesach. And remember, when we talk about times of prohibition, we'll have to talk about three different prohibitions. Achila, Hana'ah, and Bal Yireh V'Bal Yimatzeh. Three different prohibitions. They might have different times. They might not.
Based on the psukim we read Ad Achshav until now, I would have thought that it's only from the first day.
Right. I would have thought that it's only from the first day to the seventh day. That's what the verses seem to say. But now we know, we learn in Shmot 12:6.
Yeah. That is 12:6. That's
12:6. Yud bet vav.
Adar buhusa yom lachodesh hazeh. Vashachatu oisekol kahal adatikur. Bein hu arboim.
Bein arboim. Those are the important words in 12:6. Yud bet vav. That you have to slaughter the korban Pesach bein harbayim. Wait a second. Mr. Geller says in the evening. So the question is, does bein harbayim mean in the evening?
Yeah.
Erev means evening. What does bein harbayim mean? So that's a question.
It means the afternoon.
The afternoon. A lot of ink has been spilled on that question. Karaites and rabbinic Jews have argued of what does it mean bein harbayim. But anyway,
the Karaites take it to mean after Shkia.
I don't remember. I remember this was a machlok. It determined what they held.
Uh-huh.
But we hold that it's. Well, let's see. Let's see what the Gemara says. Tractate Pesachim 61a. Excuse me.
Tractate
Pesachim 61a. Samech Aleph Amud Bet. This is a Mishnah, and the Mishnah says Shachatu Kodem Chatzot Pesul. Mishum Shenemar Bein Harbaim. The Mishnah is assuming that it means afternoon, and it says if you slaughtered it before noontime, Kodem Chatzot, then it's Pasul. The implication being you can slaughter it any time after noontime.
Oh, before noontime, it's not kosher. It has to be after noontime.
Right. Any time after Chatzot Tayom,
yeah,
it is kasher.
Yeah. In the afternoon.
So then, when we get to the matter of, excuse me, when we now talk about the next mitzvah, see on the page, which is the positive mitzvah of Tashbitu, of destroying chametz, we'll see that it's connected to the mitzvah of offering the Korban Pesach, of Shchitat Korban Pesach. So the first verse is Shmot 12:15, which is a verse we saw earlier, but now we're looking at a different part of the verse. So we'll look at Yud Bet Tetvav.
Yud Bet?
Yud Bet Tetvav, which is the bottom of page 352. Bottom of 352, the last two words on page 352. Shivat Yamim Matzot Tochelu, Ach B'Yom Rishon Tashbitu So'or Mibatechem. On the first day, it says, it's important to look at every word. Yeah. Mr. Gal, it's the top of page 354. The very first line of 354. Could you look at
the...
And the verse says right there, the first line, Ach. We have to see what the word Ach means. Ach bayom harishon tashbitu so'or mibatechem. We ask ourselves, what is Yom Rishon? Well, you go on in the verse, it says, Ki chol ochel chametz v'nichbata nefesh ahim Yisrael miyom harishon ad yom hashvi, from the first day to the second day. It seems to me that the first day is the first day of the holiday.
And it says bayom harishon.
So that's very interesting, because it says, on the first day you should destroy chametz. But how could that be?
Because it's Yantiv?
Because it's Yantiv, you can destroy chametz on Yantiv, but it would seem to indicate that if you destroy it on Yantiv, that means that you had it at least for 1 second that day, because you're destroying it, so you must have had it. Could that be? So again, we're looking at at more verses to understand. We're looking at Dvarim 32:26.
Why would I think that? Just from this pasuk, I wouldn't think that's necessarily a problem, because the pasuk leaves the possibility that I had it for a second on the day. It just says, sometime on the first day, destroy it. That's what I would think the pshat is.
So you're saying it could be, it means the very first, very first second?
Even later than that, because it's...
Okay, even later, even exactly, later. So it means that I would have had it for some time at the beginning of the day.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's possible.
Based on this pasuk, it's not a problem.
Based on this book, you're right, it's not possible. You're not allowed to eat chametz on any of the 7 days, but it might be you're allowed to have it.
Right.
But you just have to destroy it on that day. Possible. Let's just look at Dvarim 32:26, which is a whole different can of worms, just to show us the meaning of the word tashbitu.
Dvarim
32:26.
It's page 1106.
Yeah.
Actually, 1104. At the bottom of page 1104, chapter Lamid Bet, Pasuk Chaf Vav. And what it says there is, last two words of the page, page 1104.
Is it Vamarti?
Yeah.
Vamarti.
Vamarti af ehem ashvita minosh zichram.
Right there.
This is Parshat Hazinu, and this is a description of the future anger of a Kodesh Baruch Hu against the Jewish people when we sin.
Uh-huh.
And what God will say to himself is, Afehem, I will scatter them. And then the top of page 1106, Ashbita me'enosh zikram. I will do this action of Ashbita, whatever that means, me'enosh, from among men, zikram, their memory. It means I will wipe out or blot out their memory.
Right.
So the word lashbit means to put a complete end to, like the word Shabbat, which means to stop, right?
Yeah,
Shabbat means to stop.
Yeah.
To stop working.
To strike in modern Hebrew.
To strike. So ashbita, I will strike at them, I will obliterate them of human beings, I'll
they'll become senile.
Obliterate.
Yeah.
They'll become senile.
Thank you, Mr. Gallum. Becoming senile.
What do you call that? The sickness that they have in America?
Yeah.
Oh.
Alzheimer's. It's not just American.
They have it everywhere.
In America, it's terrible. Most of America have that. They don't have that so much in Israel, in another country.
In other countries, people die before they get to that age.
Yeah, that's old right.
Old-timers before.
So now, let's look at Vayikra 26:6.
So how did that affect our understanding of that?
Just to show that the word means to obliterate. That's all, obliterate.
But
the word
means... think it's a problem on Yom Tov, necessarily. I mean, unless I know there have been prohibitions on Yom Tov.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
So let's look at now Vayikra.
I don't get from the...
Yeah, I got it.
So, Lashbit means to obliterate.
Yeah.
Vayikra 26:6.
What is it now?
Vayikra.
26:6.
The end of Sefer Vayikra. 26:6.
Page 708.
Page 708, we've heard.
Yeah.
26:6. Right, so the verse says, in verse above, Natati Shalom Ba'aretz, Ush Chavtem Vein Machrid, Vishbati Haya Ra'a Min Ha'aretz V'Cherev Lo Tavor Ba'atzechem. The word that we're interested in is Vishbati. I will obliterate. A bitter translation, Hayara, I will destroy beasts from your land. Has the English said here? I will withdraw. I will cause wild beasts to withdraw. But anyways, it means to put an end to, right? There's going to be no more wild beasts in Eretz Yisrael.
It could be the causative, though. It's not that.
Hishbati. I will blot out. So that just goes to show us what it means, Lashbit Chametz. To get rid of it completely. Destroy. Lashmid larog v'labed at kol hachametz. Min ha'av ad zaken, taf v'nashim yom echad.
V'chodesh Adar.
V'chodesh Adar. So, with all that information, we now look at Shmot 34, Lamed Dalet. Shmot Lamed Dalet. Shmot 34, Lamed Dalet, Pasuk 25. Which is on page 512. It's Perek Lamed Dalet, Pasuk Chaf He, near the bottom of the page. And it says, I just want to make sure that Mr. Gala has the page.
Yeah, I got
512.
I got Lamed Dalet.
That's 510. 512. What pasuk? Chafhe?
Chafhe. Lo tishchat al chametz dam zivchi. That's all we need to learn. Lo tishchat al chametz dam zivchi. The slaughter of the blood of the zevach, and it means the zevach korban pesach, shall not be done al chametz. And what we'll see is that the rabbinic interpretation, the halakhic interpretation is that when you come to the time of offering the Korban Pesach, there can't be any chametz.
Yeah.
So when do we say we offer the Korban Pesach beginning when?
Anytime afternoon.
Chatzot.
Yeah.
So that means that you have to get rid of chametz
before
Chatzot.
Yeah.
Before Chatzot.
Yeah.
Okay, so now let's see the Gemara that says that, which is in Tractate Pesachim, page 5a.
That's not too far from the Pesach, by the way.
It might even be the Pesach itself. So this is the last Gemara that I brought here in the Talmud Bavli Masechet Pesachim Daf Hei Amud Aleph. Debei Rabbi Yishmael Tana. The house of Rabbi Yishmael has a braita that had gotten tradition. Matzinu Arba Asar Shnikra Rishon. Shneemar the Rishon the Arba Asar Yom Lechodesh. We'll stop there for a second. It says we found that the word
14 day
that the 14th of the month is called Rishon.
Yeah.
As the verse says, Rishon ba'arba asar yom lechodesh. So we saw that verse a number of times, and that verse says on the first day you should tashbit the chametz, and it said miyom Rishon ad yom Shvi'i you shouldn't eat chametz.
But Rishon ba'asar lechodesh, I would think that that means the first month.
You want
the
to wait
Rishon
until I'll take you home
because Rishon we already know the date ba'asar Rishon refers to the month. I would think
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening.
Oh, okay. I would think in that pasuk it said Rishon Arba Asar. We already know the date is Arba Asar, so Rishon, I would think, would refer to the month.
No, no, wait, wait a second. That verse doesn't say the word Arba Asar.
Okay.
Let's look at the verse again, right? The verse brings us back to 12:15.
12:15.
Yud Bet 15. Page 352.
15, I got it here, yeah. Shivat Yomim.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it says?
That's it, yeah. Shivat Yomim Matzot Tochelu.
Shivat Yomim Matzot Tochelu. Shivat Yomim Matzot Tochelu. Shivat Yomim Matzot
Tochelu. Ki kol ochel chametz v'nichbata nefesh ha'im Yisrael mi yom rishon ad yom ha'shvi'i. So, the holiday is 7 days.
Right.
And the first day is clearly Tetvav.
Right.
The verse uses the word Rishon twice. Right? First it says, Ach biyom Rishon tashvitu. And then it says, Mi yom Rishon ad yom Shvi, you shouldn't eat chametz. Yes. So we wonder what Rabbi Yishmael's brayta is saying. It looks like I have to say that he's saying that the first time it says biyom Rishon, it means the 14th. The second time it says biyom Rishon, it means the 15th.
Yeah, because means, he understands that...
You mean the 14th is really Erev Pesach?
But it's
yeah, because it's just think a second. If the second time that it says Rishon, it means the 14th,
yeah,
and Pesach it says is 7 days, then you end up the last day of Pesach, you're allowed to eat chametz.
On the 21st.
If you start counting a day early.
Right.
Yeah.
So when it says Miyom Rishon Ad Yom Shvi'i, it means the 15th to the last day of of Chag HaMatzot. But when it says before that, B'yom Rishon Tashbitu, Rabbi Yishmael says that's a different Yom Rishon.
And I think that he says that because of the pasuk that we looked at in Vayikra, that you're not allowed to offer the Korban Pesach al chametz.
In Shmot, there was Shmot Lamed Daled.
Okay, yeah, is that what's prompting him? Because from this pasuk alone, I don't think.
Well, it's hard to know. As we read the Gemara further, we'll see that pasuk that I brought is mentioned here.
Yeah.
But it's not clear if that was Rabbi Yishmael's impetus or someone else's impetus. Okay.
This pasuk is not clear.
This pasuk is not clear.
And 12.
I mean, on the pshat level, I would think that the Rishon means the same Rishon.
Right.
It's difficult. It's not clear what Rabbi Yishmael means or where he got it from. Now let's go on a little bit further in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak amar, Rishon demikara mashma. The word Rishon means mikara.
A day before.
Right. In other words, the word Rishon can have two meanings. It could mean first, and it could mean early. Right? Uh-huh. Earlier, or prior.
Before. Before the Rishon, yeah.
So, it's not clear if Rabbi Nachman, if Rav Nachman is claiming to explain how Rabbi Yishmael got to what he said, or if he's giving an alternative understanding. So, in any case, if we go back to the verse, according to Rav Nachman, it says, Ach b'yom harishon. That means, but on the prior day, the word Rishon means prior.
Prior day, yeah. That's what he interprets it.
Yeah. And then when it says, later in the Pasuk, Miyom Rishon Ad Yom Shvi, that's referring to the first day of the holiday. Yeah. The Rishon could be a number, or it could be...
Could be before.
Just meaning before.
Right.
No, I disagree with him.
Okay. He brings a proof for that from the book of Iyov, from the book of Job. I just cut it out of the... to save room, I cut it out. Okay, now we go on.
Is that in that example in the book of Iyov, is it clear that the Rishon is the day before?
It might be clear, but okay. If you want to ask about Pshat, the Hebrew of the book of Iyov is many hundreds of years after the Torah.
Later, right. But that's okay.
The pasuk is not clear.
For a drash, that's acceptable.
It's Yom Rishon, and then it says, and then it ends up, Yom Rishon at Yom Shvi. First it says Yom Rishon, you should clean up the chomet.
Yeah.
It is not understandable.
I don't know. I think it's only not understandable because they need another pasuk to clear today.
It up. Okay, so right, so...
They need another pasuk to clear it up.
Rava Amar Mihacha. Rava says from here.
Yeah.
So we have to make clear that when Rava says Mihacha from here, what that phrase means, Mihacha, means we know the halakha.
Yeah.
We just don't know where we got it from. Right? Well, we have another suggestion where we got it from.
Place,
the previous suggestions are not good enough, but there's no question what the halakha is.
Yeah.
There's no argument here, lema'aseh.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone knows that we destroy the chametz on the 14th and not the 15th. The question is, how do we know it? But there seems to be a very, very clear and ancient tradition as far as that goes.
The Karaites have a different tradition.
That is
well, they it's not a tradition. It was a new interpretation.
Yeah, that's what we looked before,
So he says, and he brings the verse, rather brings the verse that we saw in Lamed Daled, Lo tishchat al chametz dam zivchi, which means, he says, Lo tishchat ha-pesach v'dayin chametz kayam. And since we are shochet the Korban Pesach on Yud Daled, from Chatzot, that means that the mitzvah of Tashbitu must be that you have destroyed the chametz by Chatzot on Yud Daled.
If you're not offering the Korban Pesach, that would bring up the question. But
okay. So, and then the Gemara says, Ve'ema kol chad v'chad ki tashchit. Let's say everyone, when they shochet, in other words, that would only mean that I have to destroy chametz by the time that I offer my Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach can be offered from Chatzot, but you can do it until the late afternoon, so perhaps I can keep my chametz until 3 in the afternoon if I'm doing my Korban Pesach at 4. So this verse says, the Gemara does not necessarily prove that you have to get rid of chametz across the board by Chatzot on Yud Daled. Doesn't prove it. Because it might be everyone individually lo tishchat. You personally don't sacrifice your korban pesach with chametz still in your possession. Get rid of it first.
So you might think that's not a problem for people who aren't shechting.
And therefore, if you're in a time when no one is shechting, it,
or you're not shechting because you're a kid or a woman or whatever.
Or it might be, it's just a havamina.
Yeah.
So then it says, Zman shchita marachmana. No, we're going to understand the verse is talking not about when you shochet, but rather zman shchita.
Not individual, it's general.
It's general. The general time is from chatzot, which means you have to be mashpit the chametz before chatzot on Yudala. That's going to be the conclusion according to the way Rava learns it. That's Rava's source. And then the Gemara says, Tanyana mihachi. We also learn the same thing in a Braita. And the Braita says, Ach b'yom rishon tashpitu su'ur mibatechem. Mi erev yom tov. Oh, eino ela b'yom tov atzmo. Talmud lomar, lo tishchat al chametz tam zivchi. Lo tishchat et ha-pesach v'dayin chametz kayam divrei Rabbi Yishmael. So I'm stuck in the middle of the Braita just to translate.
Yeah.
What the Braita says is, Ach b'yom rishon tashpit esumi batichem. That means mi erev yom tov. That means already on the 14th. Or it's nothing but yom tov itself. That's a classic midrash halacha that gives you the two possibilities. Does it mean the 14th? Does it mean the 15th? When it says tashpit esumi batichem b'yom rishon, does it mean the 14th or the 15th? The Braita gives you both possibilities, and then it says Talmud Lomar. The verse says, Lo tishchat al chametz tam zivchi, which means Lo tishchat et haPesach v'dayin chametz kayam. Don't shochet the Pesach while you still have chametz. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael, therefore, according to this Braita, is indeed understanding the verse in Yud Bet in light of the verse in Lamed Aleph.
Right.
And this sheds light on the first statement of Rabbi Yishmael we brought, which we didn't know there, what his source was for understanding that Rishon means Yudalit. So it turns out, like Eric said, the source is the verse Lo Tishchat Al Chametz Tam Zivchi. That's Rabbi Yishmael's opinion. But then we bring another opinion in this Midrash Halachan the Bright, and it says Rabbi Kiva Omer Eino Tzarech. Rabbi Kiva says we don't need all that. Rather, what does he say? Harei Omer Ach B'Yom Rishon Tashpitu Sumi Batechem V'Kativ Kol Malacha Lo Taase Lo Tasu.
What does it say? Kol Malacha Lo.
There's like, you know, seven different places in the Torah when it says don't do malacha.
Oh, right.
On Shabbat. Shabbat and Yom Tov.
Shabbat and Yom Tov.
Right.
But it doesn't say that in the episode. Yeah. Right. So he
says, Rabbi Kiva says, look, we know that you can't do malacha and Yom Tov. And Rabbi Kiva is going to assume that tashbitu implies malacha. He's going to destroy chametz. Rabbi Kiva assumes that it means srefa. It's a machloket later on. The Hachamim say, "Bechol davar, you can be mashbit the chametz in any way." Rabbi Kiva says it's dafka srefa. If it's dafka srefa, well, srefa is an av melacha. So how can you do it on Yom Tov? So let's read on in the Braita. Matzino lahav ara shi av melacha. We have found that burning, making a fire, is an av melacha.
You cannot burn the chumash.
So that's Rabbi Akiva's proof. That when it says "Biyom Rishon Tashbitu Sumi Batechem," it can't mean the 15th, because the 15th is an Isur Malacha, and Tashbitu implies Malacha. So it must be the day before.
To the same conclusion using different.
Right. So we have Rabbi Yishmael and we have Rabbi Akiva. Now we have another opinion. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Eino Tzarech. We don't need that either. I have something easier for you. Harei Omer. Ach b'yom rishon tashbitu sumi batechem mi erev yom tov. Oh, eino ele b'yom tov. Again, the same question. Is it on yom tov or is it on erev yom tov?
Yeah.
Rabbi Yossi brings up both possibilities. Talmud Lomar, ach.
Ach means
look at that word. Ach chilek.
Oh, chilek.
The word ach,
That when it says ach b'yom rishon,
divides it.
It means divides up. It doesn't mean that you have to do it at the beginning of the Yom Rishon. You have to do it in the middle of the Yom Rishon.
Yeah.
And if you have to do it in the middle of the Yom Rishon, then it certainly can't be Tetvav, Because that would imply that you're having chametz at the beginning of the holiday. But chametz is already forbidden at the beginning of the holiday. So therefore, the only possibility that it refers to Yud Dalet. That's what Rabbi Yossi says.
I think that was brought last because it's the weakest of the three.
I don't know.
In terms of the...
Ve'i b'yom tov atzmo mishari, and if it means yom tov atzmo, is it permitted? Is permitted to have chametz on yom tov itself?
Right, that's what, you know.
And I'll prove to you that it's not. Ha'itkash hashpatat seor la'achilat chametz, v'achilat chametz la'achilat chametz la'achilat matzah. I'll prove to you that of course you can't have chametz in your house on Yom Tov, because there's a hekesh of hashpatat seor lachilat chametz, and achilat chametz lachilat matzah, and achilat matzah. Right. So these things are on Yom Tov, which means you can't have on Yom Tov. You have to have the hashpatat seor ready from the beginning of Yom Tov, because you're not allowed to have chametz on Yom Tov.
Right.
So the conclusion is, however you get to it, whether it's Rabbi Yossi, whether it's Rabbi Kiva, whether it's Rabbi Yishmael, that it's on the 14th that you're supposed to do the Tashbitu. And when, from the 14th, we said... Before Bein Harbaim. Right, before Chatzot.
Right,
the Halakha. By Chatzot. By Chatzot, you have to fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbitu.
Right. And of course, we're going to get to earlier than that.
Yeah. So that would mean that the bal yimatzei, the bal yimatzei, bal yirav bal yimatzei, by chatzot. There can't be any chametz by then. What about isur achila and isur hana'a? They might be earlier. We don't know. But the amount of possession has to be not in your possession, has to be destroyed. That's by chatzot. Okay. So with all that background, we're gonna look at a little bit of Mishnah. It'll take us less time to see the Mishnah than it took us to see the background. I guess we could probably wait because Eric's 33% of our class. So we're going to see the first four Mishnayot of the Masechet. Very straightforward Mishnayot. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So the first Mishnah of Masechet Pesachim.
Okay.
And what it says is in the first Mishnah of Masechet Pesachim, Ol le'arba'a asar bodkim et ha'hametz l'or hanir.
It's a bit of a wordplay going on there, right?
Or means what? In the evening?
Right, that's exactly the question. It says Ol le'arba'a asar.
Or
at the or, whatever that means, of the 14th, bodkim et ha'chametz, we check for chametz, l'or haner, with the help of the light of a candle.
Or means light. Or means light.
So here we have to be anachronistic. What do we do today? When do we do chametz, bidikat chametz?
We do it
in the evening.
At night.
At night.
So here we have the word or la'basa. Yeah. The light of the 14th, which means the darkness of the 14th.
Means what?
The darkness. Light means darkness.
Oh. I never would have thought that.
So when do we... We learned once many months ago the Aramaic expression for a word that means the opposite of what it means.
Uh-huh.
Who remembers?
I don't know. But it's two in this same passage.
In the same verse, the word means two different things.
Two different things.
So the expression is Sagi Nahor.
Oh, yeah.
Sagi Nahor.
Sagi
Nahor. Sagi Nahor. Sagi means a lot in Aramaic, and Nahor means light.
Right.
A lot of light. Sagi Nahor is the expression for a blind person who has no light.
Yeah.
Right.
He's called the person who has a lot of light.
Right.
And then that expression that refers to someone blind became the expression for an expression that is the opposite of what it means. So when we say or means choshech, that's the shon sagi nahor.
Yeah.
This is a good candidate for a crossword puzzle.
Right? Light means dark.
Funny, you know, the same word, two meanings.
And by the way, in modern Hebrew, the expression or la'abasar means the night before the day. For example, when you have a wedding invitation and you're putting the date, let's say it's taking place in the evening, you're supposed to write
or
la'abasar. If it's on the 14th, right, the Hebrew night begins,
right.
The Hebrew day begins with the night.
Yeah.
So you write on the invitation or le'shishi. Or Larbasa or the
invitation.
Yeah. So on the night of the 14th we check the Hametz with the light of a candle. So we have to ask ourselves why? If we learned that the Isur of Tashbitu begins at noontime, why do we check for the Hametz beforehand? And that can only be Gzerah Derabanan, right? So right, you have the whole night in front of you, and you have the whole day until noon. But it's a mitzvah, so Gzerah Derabanan. And the Gemara says that simply people that are home at night, they go to work or they do other things, they go out. So when everyone's at home, you want to check for the chametz.
It should be now, a family event.
And by the way, checking for chametz doesn't mean any type of ritual you do after cleaning the house for a month. Rather, this is cleaning the house.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as vacuuming and cleaning and launching 3 weeks before. Rather, the night before you clean the house. Budkim et hametz. Do we have any chametz here? That's all.
Right.
It takes an hour, it takes an hour and a half, it takes 2 hours, and you're finished.
Although you may have to get rid of chametz that you have in your house, and that
is
may take longer.
There?
No, it's not coming.
In your freezer.
Well, remember, people, you know, didn't have big houses.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
They didn't have too much in the house. They had enough food for a day or two, or three, perhaps, at the maximum.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not so hard to do any big cut for me. Say again?
My wife is always held by this.
So you don't have to wash the blinds and paint the walls?
Right. Last minute.
And Rav Aviner, to this very day, right, if you spend more than a day on cleaning house for Pesach, you did too much.
Right.
A day?
A lot of people don't know that.
A lot of people don't know.
He says that on the radio, though.
Very interesting.
Rav Aviner says that on the radio.
Yeah.
So then it says, Kol makom she'ein machnisin bo hametz ein sarich bidika. Right? Kol makom she'ein machnisin bo hametz, any place that one doesn't usually bring into it chametz, ein tzarich bedika. You don't have, and ein tzarich bedika means there's no need to do anything, not to clean, not to look, not to pay any attention in the bathroom. You don't have to check for chametz. You don't have to clean the bathroom. You might want to clean it for other reasons, but for Pesach, there's no need to clean the bathroom. You don't have to clean the bathroom. If you don't eat in bed, there's no need to clean the bedroom. Right? No need at all.
If you have kids, you have to be careful.
So that gets to the Mishnah about the rats bring chametz from place to place. So kids are...
In America, they eat breakfast in the bed.
Of course. Alzheimer and eating in bread.
The husband
they're all
brings
American
the breakfast
things.
To the wife in the bed.
So why do people go
not
so
in my
crazy
home.
Today?
Is that again?
So why do people go so crazy? It takes all the fun out of Pesach.
Because they don't...
They don't know the Mishnah.
Like I said, Rav Aviner is on a crusade to stop people from going crazy.
Yeah.
So anyway, the lama amru shtei shurot b'martef. Why did they say two rows in the storage house? The answer to the question is makom shemachnisin bo chametz. The answer is a place that we bring into it chametz. What this means is after we said at the end of the first line and the beginning of the second that you only have to check
places in which you bring chametz. And the Mishnah says, if that's true, why did we learn in an earlier tradition that you have to check the storage room? Behold, there's no chametz there. In other words, you have here an example of what's called the Mishnah Rishona, an earlier tradition that is brought by the Mishnah in order to question it.
I guess they would have only had wine there, probably.
Exactly. It's probably a wine cellar.
Yeah.
And they're saying, why do we have a tradition that you have to check your wine cellar? Because I know who brings chametz, no one, into their wine cellar. It doesn't make sense. You just told me if there's no chametz being brought in, you don't have to check.
Yeah.
And the answer is, we meant the makom shemachnisin bo chametz. We meant the wine cellar that you bring chametz into. For example, if you sometimes are eating your meal and you have a bread in the hand and you go to the wine cellar to get wine, so that's makom shemachnisin bo chametz. But if you have a wine cellar that you never go in there with bread in your hand, then you don't have to check for chametz. It's simply a matter of each case according to its circumstance. But anyway, if we did say now that you have to check out a wine cellar in which you have a custom of walking into with bread in your hand, then the question is going to be how much of the wine cellar to check. That might be a big, big wine cellar with lots of different things in it.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work. And the assumption of the Mishnah is we don't want to make you work so hard. Because remember, it's the night before Pesach. It's not 3 weeks before. So how much do I have to check? So this is a machloket, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai omrim shtei shurot al panei kol hamartef. Says Beit Shammai, you have to check shtei shurot al panei kol hamartef. Two rows al panei on the face of, or facing the perimeter of the whole martef, of the whole cellar. Whatever that means. Beit Hillel omrim shtei shurot achitzonot shehen elyonot. Says Beit Hillel, two shurot that are external, that are above. What does that mean? So it's not clear. They both agree you have to check the wine cellar if there's a custom of bringing chametz in. They both agree you have to check shtei shurot,
two lines
of barrels, yeah. Of barrels. Yeah. But which two? It's not clear. Machloket Beit Hillel Beit Shammai. So let's just read the commentary here of Professor Albeck, who summarizes the Gemara. Let's just summarize it. So he says here, if you see in about the seventh line of the commentary, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, the seventh line of the commentary, the last three words of the line, say, Al Pnei Kol Amartef.
Amartef.
And he says, Beferush Advarim Nechlaku B'Gemara. In the interpretation of the matter, there's an argument in the Gemara. Yeshum rim shabodeket shurat hachaviot shekeneged haknisa. There are those that you check the line of barrels that face the entrance. Min haaretz by the tikra, from the ground to the ceiling. V'shura kamota lifnim himena, and another line of barrels just like it, one in from it. Right. So that's pretty easy to understand. I walk into the room. I see a line of barrels facing me. I have to check that whole line of barrels from the ceiling to the floor and one line behind it. And I assume that I never went further than that with my chametz. And that's what Beit Shammai meant. But then he says, V'shteyen al panei kol amartef l'ruchvav lo govho. And concerning both of these shurot, they have to check the whole martef, its height and its width. Just like we said, that's clear. Yeshomrim she'eino bodek the shura shniyah mibifnim. But those who say that you don't have to check the second row going in, ubim koma bodek a shura yona aruat tikra, and in place of it, you have to check the upper row that is facing the ceiling. And these two rolls are like in the shape of a dalet, like this, right? So so this is my wine cellar, and this is the entrance, and here I just have rows of barrels going like this. I have to check one row here, and I have to check the top row here like a dalet.
Yeah, right.
That's what Beit Shammai said when he said shtei shurot al pnei kol amartef.
He didn't mean the perimeter.
Two shurot, which are the whole perimeter. Part of the perimeter is facing the ceiling, part is facing the entrance. They just have to cover all the exposed area of the barrels. That's what it means. It's pretty simple. Pretty simple. And then is what Beit Hillel, what does Beit Hillel say? They say, shtei shurot hachitzonot shenel yonot, the two upper external rows. What does that mean? So we go to the commentary of Albeck, and he says, hachitzonot shenel yonot, the outer ones that are the upper ones, hashurot hatzrichot bidikor, the rows that require checking, einan al pnei kol amartef, don't cover the whole circumference of the martef. Ela shtei hashurot hachitzonot bilvad, rather only the two external rows, v'gam v'peivushan nechleku b'gemara, and also in the understanding of these, there's an argument in the Gemara. There are those who say the upper row and that right below it.
Right.
I don't understand. Shura Yuna.
Shura Shalamate
Mina.
Ceiling.
And then.
What is that?
Whoa. Right.
Isn't Hatikra the ceiling?
Yeah.
Roy is that Hatikra?
Right, so Beit Hillel has us checking much less. Beit Hillel says we just have to check not the whole wall of barrels facing the Knesa, but just the highest shura,
yeah.
And that and one underneath it. Like, say, if there's five rows of barrels, just the top two.
Yeah.
Just the top two right here.
Right.
That's very little. Another opinion says the top two, but not one two, but rather one two. Right. You have to do this corner one.
Uh-huh.
We're sitting in the corner one. I come into the room from here. I have this whole wall of barrels. You have to tap, do the corner one, either one right below it or one right in that direction.
This way, yeah.
So it's very little according to Beit Hillel that I have to check. According to Beit Shammai, there's much more to check. There's a whole wall of barrels.
Yeah.
But the idea is, for our purposes, you only have to check what there's a good chance of having brought in chametz, and only then those parts of the room that have a good chance of bringing in chametz.
They didn't have cars then either.
How many barrels do you want to keep it out?
Not too many.
Not too many.
They didn't need their cars.
Okay. Let's do a few more mishnayot before we adjourn for the chili.
Yeah.
Ein choshishin Shema gerara chulda mibayit labayit umimakom lamakom. Ein choshishin, we don't have any fear, lest dragged a rat from house to house or from place to place. Imkein mechatzer lechatzer umeir lair. If so, from courtyard to courtyard and from city to city. Ein ledavar sof. There's no end to the matter.
Right.
Now, what are we talking about exactly? We're talking about the evening of the 14th when you checked your house. And you know that other people have not checked their houses. They're going to wait an hour or 2 hours. So what happens if you check your house and you go to sleep? Do you say to yourself, while I was sleeping, perhaps a rat went into my friend's house that's not yet checked, and took his chametz and dragged it into my house. If so, I'll have to go back and check my house tomorrow morning. So the halacha is no. You check and you're finished. Because otherwise, ein ledavar sof. Because if you would have to check in the morning again, then after you finished, you'd have to check in the morning again.
Yeah.
And have to check again, because there's always a chashash that another rat would have come.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to compare children to rats, but like Eric said, it's a similar thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, when we say we're not choshashin, it doesn't mean you're supposed to be blind. If you see a rat bring in chametz, you have to check for it. But if you don't see it, then you don't have to be choshesh. So the same thing with children. If you don't have to worry, your kids got up in the middle of the night and brought chametz into a room that's already checked. But if you have a reason to believe that that happened, then you have to check. Okay. Here we are in the next Mishnah, Mishnah Gimel. Mishnah Gimel says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bodkin o arba'a asar, uva arba'a asar, shachrit, uva sha'ata biur. Rabbi Yehuda says, we check in the evening of the 14th, and on the 14th in the morning, and at sha'ata biur. Biur is the word the halacha uses for tashbitu. And at the time when we actually do the biur. No, we have time, don't worry, it's only 10:15. So only 10:15. So Rabbi Yehuda seems to be saying we check three times. But he can be saying something else. He might be saying we can check at one of these three times. Right? He says perhaps you can check either at night or in the morning, or at the Shata Biur.
They didn't use Aleph Vav in Mishnei Akiva?
Not always. Sometimes, but not always. And it's really not clear if he means all three times, or if he means at any of these three times. Now, if he is saying at any of these three times, is he talking Lahatchila or B'diavad? Does he mean you should have checked at night, but if you missed it, you can do it in the morning, and if you missed it, you can do it at the Shata Biur? Or does he mean, no, anytime you want, Lahatchila? Kind of hard to believe he meant Lahatchila, because then he would be in direct conflict with the Takana that we learned in the first Mishnah, that we checked.
What is exactly
the
14th?
It means at the time that we burn it, which is right before Chatzot.
Yeah.
On the 14th.
And they burn the
chametz.
Yeah.
So since we already had a Mishnah that said we check the chametz on the night of the 14th, it's hard to believe that he's saying that we can do differently.
Especially because that was the Tana Kama, right?
Yeah, so it's probably that he's saying either that you have to check these three times, which is also hard to believe, you have to check three times. He's probably saying b'diavad. If you didn't do it then, you could do it now. If you didn't do it now, you can do it later. Right. But if he's talking b'diavad, then it's really hard to understand. Because if it's b'diavad, then why does he give you only up to the Shata Biur?
Why wouldn't he give you until Chatzot, you say?
And when even later? Because let's say you forgot. So now what do you do? It's now the Seder. It's Pesach night. You forgot to check. Do you check now? According to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't check. That seems ridiculous. If you've forgot, then when you remember, goodness gracious, go and do it. Otherwise, every minute that you don't check, you have an Isur of Bal Yireh or Bal Yimatzeh.
Yeah.
So now we see that Rabbi Yehuda makes no sense at all. He can't mean Latchil, you have three times to check, because that contradicts the first Mishnah. He can't mean that B'diavad, you have three times, because why not give a fourth and a fifth and a sixth? And he can't mean that you're supposed to check three times, because we have no basis for that. So it seems very difficult to understand Rabbi Yehuda.
Does Professor Elbeck help us out?
Well, let's finish the Mishnah first. V'chamim amrim lo vadak or arba'asar yivdok ba'arba'asar.
If you forgot this.
Lo vadak ba'arba'asar yivdok b'toch ha-moed. Lo vadak b'toch ha-moed yivdok l'char ha-moed. Hachamim say, if you didn't check on the night of the 14th, check on the 14th.
Yeah.
If you didn't check on the 14th, check during the holiday. If you didn't check during the holiday, check after the holiday.
Meaning after Yantif?
After Yantif. After.
Yeah. In Yantif.
No, after the 7 days are finished. After the 7 days are finished.
Oh, okay. Check then, because there's a separate mitzvah of checking?
We'll talk about that. So the Hachamim say, you should check at the right time. If you missed it, check whenever you remember. So now, I'll say briefly, why do you check during the Moed? Because as long as there's 1 minute left of the holiday, you can save yourself from the prohibition of Bal Yirev, Bal Yimetzeh. If you can, for 1 minute, have less chametz than you had, yeah. After the holiday, you have to check, because there's a Isur de Rabbanan of chametz shavar lava Pesach. The rabbis say you can't, it doesn't have to be burnt, you can't eat chametz that a Jew had in his possession during Pesach. So if you forgot to check all of Pesach, then check afterwards to make sure that you don't eat anything that was owned by you on Pesach. So if the Hachamim are saying, check whenever you remember, let's think about Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda perhaps was saying the same thing, that it's b'diavad. You should have checked then. If you didn't check here, check here. Didn't check here, check then. But Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow you to check after Shat Biur, whereas Hachamim say check whenever you remember, even after Shat Biur. So what's going on? It could be the following that's going on. This is what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that according to the Hachamim, you check whenever you remember because you want to save yourself from Bal Yira, Bal Yimatzeh. And if you miss the whole holiday, check afterwards, you want to save yourself from Hametz Shavar Lava Pesach. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, if you miss the Shat Biur, it's true that there's a chashash that you might have Hametz in your house and you're being all there, Bal Yira, Bal Yimatzeh. But we don't want you to check. Why? Because if you find chametz, you might eat it. And eating is worse than being over on Bal Yerev Bal Yimatzeh. If you didn't check, then
forget it.
Forget it. It's better to forget it so you won't eat it.
Yeah, that's clear, yeah.
Whereas the Hachamim say, what do you mean? He's not going to eat it. If he's checking for it, it means he has in mind that it's prohibited. So he's not going to eat it. And the Halakha is like the Hachamim. That you check or la barasa, but if you forgot, you do it as soon as possible. Even on the moed itself, and even after the moed, that's the halakha. Okay, there's an end to this Mishnah, which is pretty simple. It says, Uma shemishayer yanichenu betzina, and that which you leave, as you found chametz, you check, let's say, or la barasa, what you find, you put aside betzina, you hide it. In order that there won't be a need for another bidika. In other words, if you didn't hide it and you find some missing, you have to check again. So hide it, in other words, put it in a package so that you know exactly where it is, so that the next morning you can burn it. Pretty simple.
Rabbi Ezra says to take 10. That's
a Kabbalistic custom, right?
Yeah.
Say again, what is he saying?
You take 10, I think, 10 different pieces of chametz and wrap them in the paper or tin foil or whatever.
So we do.
Oh, that's the 10. Yeah. That's the 10 sfirot. Naked the 10 sfirot, I assume, right?
I don't know. Last Mishnah for today. Last Mishnah for today, Mishnah Dalet. Rabbi Meir Omer, Ochlin Kol Chametz. V'sorfin b'tchilat shesh. We're talking about arba'asar in the morning, and we're talking about shot zmaniot, right? We count the day halachically, divided into 12 equal parts, and you have halachic hours. Says Rabbi Meir, ochlin kol chamesh, the fifth hour. Let's say that let's call the halachic hours 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, right? So chatzot, the middle of the day, is the end of the sixth hour, right? The first hour, when we say 1 o'clock, halachically, it's the end of the first hour.
Right.
When we say 2 o'clock, it's the end of the second hour. Right, so we begin with 0. The first hour begins, now it's 1. Then 2, 3. When we say 6 hours, chatzot, that's the end of the sixth hour. So says Rabbi Meir, ochlin kol chamesh, the whole fifth hour until the end of the fifth hour, which we would call on our clock 11 o'clock, let's say, you're allowed to eat. You don't have to, but you're allowed to eat until then. But not after that. Why not? It can only be the Rabbanan. Because the Raita, you can eat until when? Until Chatzot Ayom, because that's the time of the Korban Pesach. You can have chametz, and assumedly you could eat it until that time, but the Rabbanan, you can't eat it except until the end of the fifth hour.
They take 1 hour that they...
Reach. 1 hour. There's a Gzeir de Rabbanan of 1 hour, Isur Achila. V'surfin b'tchilat shesh. And we burn it at the beginning of the sixth hour, which is the same time as the Sur Achila. Because if you can eat it all the fifth hour, it means the beginning of the sixth hour is when you have to stop eating it. The end of the fifth hour is the beginning of the sixth, which is exactly when you have to burn it. So according to Rabbi Meir, at the time of Isur Achila, that's when you have to burn it, which is an hour before the time Doraita. So there is in the Agzera de Rabbanan of 1 hour, according to Rabbi Meir. But Rabbi Yehuda says, and the halakha is like Rabbi Yehuda says, Ochlin kol arba'a, v'tolin kol chamesh, v'sorfin b'tchilat shesh. We eat the whole fourth hour, and only to the end of the fourth hour. V'tolin kol chamesh, and we hang for the fifth hour. Hang means we're in limbo. You can't eat it. So it's now 2 hours before Chatzot. There's a 2 hour Gzeira d'Rabbanan, but you don't have to burn it. You can, but you don't have to burn it until the beginning of the sixth hour. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, there are two different Gzeirot d'Rabbanan. One is that you have to burn it an hour before the time d'Oraita. The other is you have to stop eating it 2 hours before the time d'Oraita. That's our halacha today. You notice on the calendars always say that you have to stop eating at 10 in the morning, for example, and burn it by 11. Something right. like that. It's always an hour difference, because we heard like Rabbi Yehuda, that there's an hour of tliyah, an hour of hanging in the middle, which you can't eat it, but you don't have to burn it yet. Of course, you can, but you don't have to. That's all for today.
Glad I made it.
So is our last, next week is our last week?
Last class.
Last class, and then, okay.
And after Pesach, we said we're going to be...